ओम शांति। December 31, 2019, Tuesday. Essence. Sweet children, churn the ocean of knowledge you are given. It's only by churning this knowledge that you can extract nectar from it. Sweet children, churn the ocean of knowledge you are given. It's only by churning this knowledge that you can extract the nectar from it. So, in one of the Avyakta Murlis, Baba had said, unless and until you go into the depth, you will not get pearls, diamonds, if you just float on the surface. You will get only fish, nothing else but fish. But if you want pearls, if you want diamonds, if you want nectar, you need to go deep down within. God is the ocean of knowledge, and to modify it, we can say that God is the ocean of practical knowledge. It's not just the ocean of knowledge, but the knowledge which is pragmatic, the knowledge which can be translated into practice, the knowledge which can be materialized into the sakar form. He is the ocean of that pragmatic, that practical knowledge. But in order to make this gyan, this knowledge practical, one must dive deep into it. One must enter into it. To think means to float on the surface, and to churn means to go deep. Manan manthan means to go deep within, and to think is to float here, to wade on the surface. So unless and until each and every point of knowledge is understood in depth, it cannot be made practical, because the knowledge which God is giving is very deep, mysterious, esoteric. Churn this ocean of knowledge. It's shown in the scriptures that this one mountain and the entire serpent round it, and on one side are deities and on the other side are those demons, and they churn that ocean and multiple things start coming out from that sagar manthan. At one point of time, the last thing that came was the nectar, and after drinking that nectar, all the deities became imperishable, eternal. So it's only by churning that things happen. And the principle of churning is one, five wives and one husband. This is how you churn. What is the method of churning? Five wives and one husband. What are those five wives? First, who? Second wife, why? Third wife, what? Fourth wife, when? Fifth wife, where? And who is the husband? How? This concept is known as five wives and one husband. And this is how you churn the knowledge. So whenever you read anything, for example, in today's Murli, Baba said in question, What is it that makes you very rich, affluent? It is the knowledge that makes you rich. The knowledge here would turn into pearls and jewels there. The subtle would get transformed into the gross. Who? So how do you churn, Murli? Ask yourself first question, who? Who is telling? Who is saying? The one who is saying is not human being. The one who is saying is not any incarnation. The one who is telling is not any great person. The one who is saying is not any guru of this world. The one who is telling me is the supreme, is the highest, is the holiest, is the purest. The greatest of the greatest. The highest of the highest. Who is telling me? Whatever statements, whatever versions we read in Murli, just stop, ponder, reflect, meditate, contemplate, and give a moment, a pause, to think, who is telling me this? What he is telling is definitely important, but more important than that is, who is telling? Probably what he is telling I already know, but do I really know who is telling this? He is somebody who is out of this circle. He is sitting here, and he is the only one who can tell the truth, the ultimate truth and the final truth, because he is the ocean of truth. No falsehood can ever touch him. So whatever he says, there is nothing above that. The very fact that he is telling is enough. There is no question of logic or reasoning even. When we know that, if suppose somebody loves somebody, so there is no question of logic. They just believe that person blindly. It is the faith that works miracles. So who is telling me to do this? Who is telling me to stay pure? He's not anybody of this world. He is somebody who is afar from this world. He is somebody whom I was searching hither and thither. He is somebody for whom I was calling out. He is somebody who was always in my dreams and yet I couldn't know him. He, the invisible, has become visible. He, the impalpable, has become palpable. He who was unfelt has become somebody who can be felt, who can be touched. He who was untouchable, he who was far away, has come near. So more important than what he is saying is who is saying. So that God, that supreme lover, has come down on earth. And he is telling, and he is teaching, and he is guiding, and he is advising. And these are his orders. At some time, Baba says, I explain you. At other time, he says, I advise you. At another time, he says, I suggest you. Sometimes he says, this is my order. Sometimes he says, okay, this is what I say. If you can do it, otherwise leave it. Sometimes he says, you have to do it. Sometimes he begs. He pleads. So he begs, he pleads, he asks, he suggests, he orders. He takes different forms at different times. Sometimes he warns. Sometimes he cautions. Sometimes he threatens, if you don't do, then see what I do. In one of the Avyakta Mullis, there's one statement. Children out of laziness say to the father, "Father, we will see what will happen in future." The father says, "You will see what will happen in future." So who is saying is more important than what he is saying. What he is saying is definitely important. But even more important than that is who. So the first wife is who. The second wife is why. Whenever you read any point of Murli, just stop and think why he is saying this. Nobody has said this till now. Why he is telling all this? In what context? With what motive? What is his purpose? Is he selfless in saying? What is his vested interest? Why? Any point take up from the Murli and think why? Why is this like this? We are not raising doubts. This is not the question of suspicion. We have already crossed the state of sanshay. Now, this is inquisitiveness. There is something known as suspicion, sanshay. We are not in that stage. We have already crossed that stage. Now, it is not sanshay, but it is sandeha. These are two different words in Hindi. One raises doubts and suspicion. Another is the stage of utkanta, inquisitiveness. What is it? I want to know. I want to understand. And without understanding, you cannot love. In yesterday's Murli, there was a powerful statement. Unless and until you understand the Father, you cannot love Him. So to understand Him. So raise this question why, whilst reading every point of Murli. This question should arise somewhere in the heart. Why? Why? Why is telling all this? What is the deep meaning of it? What is the meaning and what is the connotation? Without understanding the connotation, the deeper meaning of it, the subtle nuances, one cannot understand it. So, why? The third is, what? What is he saying? This is something that is shocking. This is something which is unheard of. This is something I never saw. I never heard it. Nobody ever told this. What a strange thing he is talking of. Such sense of wonder should arise in the heart. Such sense of surprise. What is it? This is such a new statement. This is such a new thing. I never heard of it in any scriptures. I never saw anybody talking about it. This is entirely weird, strange. It's shown in Bible that Jesus comes out in the street and starts talking about God, and his language is so weird and absurd. People just make fun of it. What are you talking about? We never heard of it. You have come just now. You are born in front of us. You were a small child in front of us. Now suddenly you are grown up and started teaching us religion. Forget. Go away. But he talks as if he is the authority. He talks as if he is somebody who has been given the power. And he says, "I am not talking on my own. My father is making me talk. I speak on the behalf of my father. I speak to testify my father." So what is he talking about? So you can take any statement of the Murli. And for example, in today's Murli, Baba said, this is Gyan. These are pearls of knowledge. Why this knowledge has been compared to the pearls? What? What a new point. What a new statement. What a novel version. That which was unspeakable has become something which God is speaking. Till now, nobody has spoken about it. So what is he talking about? The next point of churning is when. That indicates time. which is this time of the cycle, when he is speaking all these things, this is the time of the confluence age, where the Iron Age is about to end, and then we are ushering into the new age. Also, we are ushering into the new age, new year. So one must develop that new year. So this is, you know what, happy new year. You should have a new year also along with year. Happy new year. Year means these years. So you should celebrate new year along with new year, so that you should hear new things. Let the new things enter into your ears, and ears should also become very pure. So new year, new eyes, new mouth, new hands, new feet, new dance, new culture. There should be novelty, newness, creativity in everything, in whatever we do. So happy new year. Then where is he giving this knowledge? Place, which is the place? Madhuban, center. That place is so pure, so divine, so sacrosanct. We are sitting in the divine satsang, we are sitting in the holy company, we are sitting in the company of the swans. This is not the company of the storks, but we are sitting in the company of divine swans. So this is the place where he is giving this knowledge. The highest of the high, the purest of the pure, the greatest of all the pilgrimages. No other pilgrimage is as pure as this Madhuban. So he is giving this knowledge in this divine Madhuban. And then husband is how? Churn everything and talk with yourself. How it is so? How can it be so? Baba says, remember me and you will become pure. This is a statement we have heard times out of number. But how? The remembrance is leading to purity. Is it not a strange thing? What remembrance? Which remembrance? How remembrance? Where remembrance? How is it that soul is becoming pure? And if soul is becoming pure, what is exact? What is this statement? What is this real meaning of soul becoming impure? And if it is pure, if it is impure, then what is impurity and what is purity? And what the soul is made up of? There are 100 questions that should arise in the mind. And one should reveal. One should remain drowned in churning, meditating, cogitating, contemplating such deep, abstruse questions of life. So any statement you see, any statement you hear, anything that comes in the Murli, how? How come? Why should I believe? Why should I believe this? Let me think. It is not the question of Baba has said few days back in one Murli, just judge what I say. What I say is right, or what those people say is right. You can judge. Don't accept this. This is not the knowledge of superstition. Don't just nod your head and start accepting everything, whatever I tell. Judge everything. Judge my every word. See for yourself. Analyze it. Be a critic. And then only accept. Otherwise reject this. This is not the philosophy for blind acceptance. This is the divinest of the divine philosophy. The ultimate truth. The final philosophy. The final scriptures. The most refined and the polished Gita. The unadulterated divine scripture. The uncontaminated divine God's literature. The highest of the high book. the holy book, the ultimate book. So, don't accept it out of blind faith. Baba doesn't love superstition, Baba doesn't love blind faith. Baba says, you judge it. This is the knowledge of logic. This is the knowledge of reasoning. Weigh every word I say. Weigh every statement I say. Don't accept it just like that. Judge for yourself. Practice it. If you don't believe, practice for 1 week and then see. If you don't get the result, product back. He is the divine seller. He is the shopkeeper. He has brought different products. You use it. If you don't like it, return back. Go to another shop. There's a spiritual bazaar here. You can go anywhere and try those other products which you had been trying since Copper Age. So, every day, 5 wives and 1 husband. This is the method of churning. So Baba says, sweet children, let's start churning with this. Why he is telling us sweet children? Though we are not sweet, they are full of bitterness of vices. So this is his method of teaching. By keeping on saying sweet, 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 he is inducing that word, he is installing that word sweetness into the subconscious mind. Just as if you see any news channel or any thing in the television, there is one ad. So that ad comes how many times? Multiple times it will keep on coming. One, the same ad is repeated multiple times. Why? Why? For example, that like boy soap. Multiple times they will say like boy, like boy, like boy, like boy, like boy. What? Why? Because that is the method. That is the method that goes into the subconscious mind quite unconsciously. They keep on repeating. So Baba also does the same thing. He knows these are all children have become the ocean of bitterness. So he keeps on saying, sweet children, sweet children, sweet children, sweet children. So even whilst uttering or saying Murli, that word will come, sweet children. Probably that sweetness will trickle into the subconscious mind. Churn the ocean of knowledge. Churn this ocean. Begin this process of churning, of thinking, of contemplating, of reflecting, of pondering. You are giving. It's only by churning the knowledge that you extract. What you do? You extract. You put out. You pull out. You milk this ocean. You will get nectar. Otherwise nectar will not come into the hand. It's only by churning that the soul becomes powerful. It's not just the knowledge that makes the soul powerful. So if you want nectar, if you want to taste this nectarine knowledge, this ambrosia of knowledge, you must churn it. Om Shanti.